We're going to start this hour by talking sports as well. Dr. Debbie Stroman on the line for another round of Stroman on Sports. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Can't believe how fast this month is going by.
I know, it's the shortest one of the year, but it still feels like it should be longer than this, right? We're already halfway through.
Absolutely. But it is Black History Month, the shortest month of the year, which causes some people angst. But the fact is that the month has been started from the great entrepreneur, George Washington Carver. And it started out as a week, then it went to a month, and people do know and believe that it is United States history, so it should not be limited to February.
And certainly sports history as well, and that's what we're going to be talking about today as we get into Black History Month. We've got a lot of events happening around the community, around the state, around the country, and one of the things that we like to celebrate, again, during the month of February especially, but this is or certainly should be a year-round thing as well, is recognizing the pioneers, the trailblazers, the people who, especially when it comes to race in America, who took that step of being the first to do something. And this is something that we often celebrate in the sports world and could certainly do more of, right?
Well, there's no doubt. Certainly, Blacks, people of the African diaspora, have done many incredible things across all domains. When I think about some of the amazing inventions that we have today, that people, due to a lack of a full explanation of our history, we're not aware of. So, for example, the traffic light, the cell phone, the golf tee, the refrigerator. I mean, I can just go on and on with the inventions that Blacks have created for our happiness and pleasure and leisure and brilliance today. But far too often, well, I can't complain about it, but certainly we lift up sports and entertainers. And a lot of that has to do with the history of our country in terms of Black labor that was brought here. And so having that that position or that perspective that Blacks entertain and they provide, you know, stress relief. But certainly my community has done so much more for this country and its establishment today. But, you know, this is a little sports piece that we do every week, so we'll focus on sports. And I'm very happy that UNC has continued to evolve in this space by doing some recognitions around sports leaders that are related to the UNC experience.
And some of these, we're talking about Tar Heel Trailblazers here, and there's information online about it, and the university has done a lot to commemorate some of the significant figures in its history when it comes to sports. And we talk about this in the context of a couple of different things that are being now commemorated and celebrated on university campuses. A lot of the people, in fact, pretty much almost all of the people who are now being celebrated as Tar Heel Trailblazers for being the first, the pioneers who did something before anyone else, were not at all celebrated on campus when they were actually here doing the things that they're now being celebrated for. They faced a lot of adversity, not just from other members of the community, but at an institutional level from universities as well.
That's right. It was Peter Drucker, the great management guru, who said the culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I'll add policies. And so you can say, let's not segregate anymore. Let's make sure that all people of color are welcome to our businesses, to corporations, nonprofits, and academia. And so when Black athletes came on the campus of UNC, they weren't welcome because the culture was not advanced as the policy was. And so you had a lot of taunting. You had a lot of segregation and separation. A lot of these, Black athletes definitely faced a lot of stress besides having to perform at the top levels, as UNC historically has always been a very, very competitive university. But everything from being called the N-word to having to sleep in a different hotel or having to live in a room, not even getting the hotel. In terms of food service, and I played basketball. I started at UVA in 1978, And I will never forget one of the most painful memories for me, and this was the late 70s, of being not served at a restaurant when we were traveling in Georgia, and my teammates noticing. And I'll never forget that ugly experience, but I can only imagine what these, in particular, these men went through back in the 60s, 50s and 60s.
We talk about
not before.
Yeah, and we talk about Charlie Scott, who's one of the kind of the most celebrated pioneer black athletes at Carolina, and some of the things that he went through. And again, it's, I mean, even the really notable moments of actively being discriminated against are one thing, and then it's just the everyday experience of being ostracized or shunned or feeling like that. And I was just reading about Charlie Scott and his experience, Art Chansky's book about Charlie Scott, yeah, and that whole time. And one of the things that he talks about is the extent to which Charlie Scott, as much as he celebrated for being a Carolina athlete and as much of a superstar as he was, spent a lot of his time as a college student up the road in Durham on the NC Central campus, hanging out with students there, because that's where a lot of his friends were. That's where he felt the most comfortable. Even as a superstar who was celebrated at the time, he still felt that discrimination.
And that has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the recruiting things that are used for this area, whether it's State or UNC or Duke, is that North Carolina Central is nearby. Many times we think that just by offering an opportunity to a black person to work at or, you know, experience a white institution, that everything is fine. But again, we have different cultures, and not that the cultures don't blend oftentimes, not that we don't interact. But I think it's only human that people feel comfortable with those who look like them. And so our students today at UNC, our athletes today, still visit North Carolina Central, and some Central students will come over to Chapel Hill. But I think it's pretty well known that Durham is considered a very comfortable space for UNC students, black students to go to because of that. So that hasn't changed. But I also want to make sure we lift up Willie Cooper, who was actually the first basketball player, black basketball player at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
We know about Charlie Scott, you know, him being the first scholarship and then being such a great athlete. But Willie Cooper was actually the first black basketball player at Chapel Hill.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and with that in mind, talking about some of the pioneers that we celebrate during Black History Month, and again throughout the year, but Black History Month in particular. But there are so many other stories and other great significant pioneers whose stories are still untold and largely forgotten. And I know you're working on an initiative to recognize pioneers at the high school level, right?
Well, I am actually putting out on blast through the radio waves, airwaves, that I would love to see Chapel Hill High, East Chapel Hill High, and Carrboro High School, if they haven't done so already, but to do the research and recognize, pay tribute to the first black athletes and the first black coaches at these schools. I think for young people to be able to look at the role models, people that have gone before them, or people that did not look like them, who had to struggle, had to overcome, had to persevere, and still succeeded. And I think that's what we need more of in this country right now, is the recognition of the first. And I think our county, I think certainly, you know, the Chapel Hill Carrboro School should be able to do that.
And that's something that...
And maybe even make it a student project in a class.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that would really underscore just the history of the civil rights movement and the integration process in Chapel Hill as well. Because we think about, I think so many people think about school desegregation as something that happened in the mid-1950s, immediately after Brown versus Board of Education. But all of the firsts that you're talking about in the Chapel Hill Carrboro school system, those are going to be people who went to high school in the mid to late 60s, right? Because that's when the desegregation happened. Yeah.
Yes. And once again, we talk about the power of sport,
mm-hmm,
and how that often brings people together. And so here's another opportunity for us as a community to recognize those folks and maybe have some type of an event, or at the very least, just write it up and make it newsworthy so that more people can know about those folks.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, talking about the pioneers in the sports world as we mark Black History Month. There's also an event that I know we want to get the word out about coming up next week at United Church of Chapel Hill on MLK Boulevard, next week Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And this is something that you've been organizing, which is a read-in to celebrate Black culture, everyone getting together and reading a passage or a poem from one of their favorite Black authors. What's that going to entail?
Well, I'm really excited about this. Black History Month is a time to put Black culture in the forefront, and I think locally in our community it would be a great idea for church members and then selected guests from around the community to come and read their favorite poetry or favorite passage from a Black author. And so we will do that, and then we'll have African cuisine and African-American, and that's loosely defined, African-American food. We'll have drumming and some of the guests to read. Laurie Pagliocelli, we know her from the Chapel Hill Carborough Visitors Bureau, and she's done such a great job for our community. And she's actually, her organization is also a sponsor. We have Mayor Lydia Lavelle from Carborough. We've got our Board of County Commissioners Chair Penny Rich is going to read. Anna Richards, the president of the local NAACP, the Chapel Hill Carborough branch. We've got Barbara Jesse, from the PTA, Ted Shaw, our distinguished law school professor and director of the Civil Rights Center, will be reading. We've got Chief Chris Blue, who will be reading. So it's just going to be a great event. We're just encouraging people to come out. If you haven't heard Michelle Law speak, here's a great opportunity. She'll be speaking, as well as LaTondra Strong, who's been leading the Hate Free Schools Coalition. So it's just going to be a wonderful event of friends of the church. And certainly we're encouraging people to come out.
Are you going to be reading? And if so, do you know what your passage is going to be already?
I am going to read. I'm not going to say what I'm going to read.
All right.
Because I think I have it memorized, and I don't want to freak out right before. But I also will hopefully drop in a little James Baldwin.
All right, sounds good. Again, that is next week, Wednesday, February 20th, 6 to 8:30, at the United Church of Chapel Hill up on MLK Boulevard. Everyone is invited to that. Dr. Debbie Strowman, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, one last thing,
yeah.
Please. Pauli Murray Awards. We have our winners announced. Lori Clark, she's won the award. Joe Van Gogh, the Business Award. And then we've got students from Phillips, McDougal, and Chapel Hill High. Jordan Huang. Annie Papazoglu, and Hannah Lee Isaac. So please come out for the Pauli Murray Awards on February 24th.
And that's Sunday, right?
Yes, Sunday, yep. February 24th.
And we'll have information about that as we get closer to the day. Debbie Strowman, thank you so much.
Thank you.